Hey, Danny here. Build Show Live is going to be in Dallas October 16th, 18th, and is hands down the best trade show for builders, remodelers, and contractors. Me and my team are going to be there live, and I'd love to meet you. So you can join us with 25% off your tickets using code BTA25. Don't miss it. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. You know, when we started Breakthrough Academy 10 years ago, business coaching for contractors was kind of a strange thing, and it wasn't particularly common. And for most contractors I had talked to, they'd never even considered this before, let alone even knew really what it was. Whereas today, I feel like business coaching has skyrocketed in popularity, and as a result, there's a ton of choices out there for contractors. So if you're a contractor considering coaching, how do you make this decision? Today, we're joined by Brendan Toyne, our head of sales over at Breakthrough Academy, who's personally over his career talked to thousands of contractors during this ever-important decision-making process. And in this episode, we're going to explore what to consider before signing up with a coach, but we also talk more broadly about how to make smart business decisions when it comes to working with key vendors who will propel your business forward or not. So let's dive in. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Brendan, thank you, my friend, for coming on the show. Love to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we've got a cool conversation today. This is a little different. So me and you have worked together for a lot of years. I think I've worked with you for 7 years now. Something like that?
Yeah,
Seven and a half. All right. Who's counting? And you've been in this industry for how long? How long have you been like selling to contractors for?
19 years.
So yeah. Needless to say, you probably know a thing or two about what that takes and what's involved in doing that, I would imagine, eh?
Yeah, I've definitely seen it evolve, but I've been through a lot of conversations. So
cool.
I'm not an expert, but I feel like I know something.
I think you know a thing or two. So just so everyone out there knows, Brendan is currently head of sales for Breakthrough Academy. As of this year, took on that role, kicked me out of my role, and is making me useless. So you're a man of many talents. And I think this is one, though, that you have a lot to say about when it comes to just contractors in the marketplace, how they buy, what's the right way for them to buy. And when you look at coaching specifically, which is what Breakthrough Academy does, I think you have a lot of perspective on like how to make good decisions when you're trying to find a coach. And, you know, let's just put a disclaimer out there. Let's do our best to not, you know, to not be biased, right? Because we are here also selling coaching as one of the things. So everyone listening, we promise to just give you what we can and speak to you from our heart of what we see happening out there and how to make good decisions for yourself and for your organization so you can get the best support needed. Because the market's changing a lot, isn't it, Brendan? There's a lot going on in the market right now. So,
yeah.
Let's do that. So let's get into this conversation. I would love to know just like from BTA, you know, 7 years ago to today, what are you noticing in the marketplace? What's changing? What's changing about this industry that we're in when it comes to coaching for contractors? What are some of the themes you've seen in the last little while?
Yeah, I mean, funny thing, I was, you know, preparing for this podcast, I was thinking back to my entire journey dealing with trades guys. And it's kind of funny how it's evolved along with the industry has evolved in the exact same way. When I got started, it was very much, you know, sales and marketing. We're talking to you know, home builders and trades guys, and they need leads, and they need, you know, some of them are coming out of school and we're starting to build a business. And at that time, you know, really all we were getting is just referrals coming through. And that was kind of how business was built. And then we saw this age enter where it's like, well, actually you need a website. Like you need to start advertising. Like your name on a truck is no longer good enough. And then from website, we got to this place where it was like, actually everybody's got a website. Like, and they're all pretty good. Most of them. But now it comes to a place where it's like, well, now it's like our reputation. Like everybody looks great. So now the customer actually wants to see who is the best of the best. Anyone can write anything they want on their website. And then fast forward, you know, years and years to Breakthrough Academy. And now you've got business owners who have a website and they've got leads and they've got a website and they've maybe got a little bit of tech. And now it's like, well, how do I actually run my business? And I think that evolution has happened over a long scale, but I think in the past 7 years, I mean, when I started, most contractors had QuickBooks and an Excel doc at Breakthrough Academy. And now you look at the business as a whole and what is running you know, these operations, you know, people have tech stacks that are 10, 15 deep now. If you tack, if you tack on, you know, tracking your trucks and your time clocks for people and your estimating softwares, which could be three or four, and CRMs. And, you know, some people have started working with personal coaches or life coaches or business coaches. So the industry has evolved quite a bit. And we are now like, you know, like we're officially business people in the trades.
I mean, hence the whole podcast, Contractor Evolution, but it's like there is an evolution happening out there, and it was as simple as getting leads and websites in the beginning. I do think the tech space really started to transition things where solutions for running and organizing how to structure your company started to become, like, there was a way, I guess you would say, but it was through the use of software as a service and having a subscription to BuilderTrend or LMN or, you know, Job Nimbus, and some of these early adopters or some of these early softwares started to kind of get people adopted in. And then suddenly it's like, oh, if I run a roofing business, but I use Job Nimbus, like I run it differently than if I ran a roofing business and ran AccuLinks, and it sets the structure up a little bit. And then that opened up the conversation. I hear this from software companies all the time. They're like, okay, we solved that part. But the problem is not everybody knows how to run the whole business around the software.
Yeah.
And then this need for coaching started to become a thing, business coaching specifically. And we were early on. I mean, BTA has been at this for 10 years. And I think, probably in the last, 3 or 4 years, it started to become very apparent that we're not alone doing this anymore. There's a lot of other people helping. And it's not just sales coaching anymore, because that's always what it used to be. It's like, I'll be a sales coach or a marketing coach. Yep. It's operational help. How many, like, why do you think this is starting to become more of a market for people? Like, what's happening right now?
I think of it in kind of two ways. I think one is the obvious answer. Like, people realize there's money here. You know, there was nothing but opportunity in the trades when you look at the guys that are running extremely complex businesses from a spreadsheet or QuickBooks, as well as just businesses that grow and scale quite quickly. So I think there was always just a financial side there, but I think the people from the industry actually helped push this. Uh-huh. Like, if you think about some of the tech companies that we deal with, CRMs, whether it's landscaping or roofing or estimating software, like a lot of those were started by people that did the trade. And they say, hey, there's a way better way to do this than plugging this into my Excel sheet or into Notepad. Let's start building this. And they kind of pushed this into us into this world. And I think that's when the tech space started, you know, seeing this being done. And the tech was always there. It just wasn't really in the trades per se.
And I think a need got created. I think that as things got standardized, there are certain contractors, let's say, that started to own the space more and more and more. And there was a need to either evolve or fall behind, is what I've noticed. And so there's certain brands, let's even say, that in certain markets that are starting to own the neighborhood in a lot of ways because they're professionalizing. And there's others that aren't. And it's like, it's whether you want to evolve or not, it's like kind of in the next 5 to 10 years, you have to decide to either start to or shrink the business a little bit and be more owner-operator style, because to actually be a professional organization in the contracting space means a lot more than it did, say, 10 years ago. Is that?
Yeah. And when you look at the companies that are in full adoption mode, they're forcing the customer's expectation up as well, right? Like, if customers are now hiring people that have their, you know, their shit together, that is now the new expectation.
We just ran a big podcast on that, on just like, and even like the Amazons of the world, it's not just like because other contractors are professionalizing, it's because the buyer experience is changing and people want a more like streamlined rapid fire way to be able to bring in and hire a contractor than the old methodology. Actually, I just did a podcast on that. We'll probably release somewhere around this one. So, hey guys, quick question before we continue the episode. If you could get a custom roadmap for growing your business in 5 minutes, would it be worth your time? After tracking the growth of over 1,600 contracting businesses since 2015, we've put together a 5-minute quiz you can go take right now that draws on a massive pool of data. You'll get instant access to a personalized report that's going to tell you which one of the four phases of contractor growth you're actually in right now. How your company stacks up in the 6 core areas of business compared with industry benchmarks. And what to go do next, including customized resources, tools, and templates you'll have access to right away. No waiting around for an email or filling out a million separate forms. The link is in the description, so go check it out. Now, back to the episode. needless to say, there are many different types of coaching organizations out there. And this is what sparked this whole conversation to do this podcast, was that people sometimes have troubles discerning between what type of coaching they need. If maybe they just need a software solution, and they come in and they meet with you all the time and have these conversations. So let's just start there. Like, what are all the different things that people come in thinking that they need or thinking that you realize that they need? There doesn't, because they're not even sure of what they're trying to shop for. It's like, do I need sales coaching, business coaching? Do I need mindset coaching? Do I need a piece of software? Explain what people come in with. There's a bit of confusion in the early stages, is there not?
Mm-hmm. I think if you look at what the needs are plenty. Like everybody's got a different need, and even if you can categorize it in the same, you know, macro perspective, there's still so many different unique variables that go into each person's business. But you're right. Like for some people, it is very basic stuff. Like, hey, like I am not busy enough. Like my sales team ain't selling. I don't know how to market my business at all. I used to get 90% of my business from referrals, and now there's six other contractors in my area that have wicked vehicle wraps, and their website's great, and they're using all the tech, and they're taking my lunch. There's people that just don't want to feel lonely. Do you know this? We've said it on the, I mean, it's on this podcast a million times. It has to be. Entrepreneurship is lonely. But I've been there. I've also owned businesses. Like, it is a lonely journey. And so for some people, it's just getting together with other business owners to bounce ideas off of each other and just see what best practices are doing outside of your market. For other people, they actually start to need to bring in very specific help for specific problems. We touched on sales and marketing, but there's operations, there's tech. I mean, half the tech companies out there have their own coaching services on how to use the tech better. And then, you know, kind of on the bigger scale, you've got that full scale kind of consulting, and maybe there's a little bit of a combination of a coaching consulting version, but that consulting is really having somebody come in that is very high level to say, this is your problem and here are the answers. So I think to narrow it down, you've got your Slack groups, that Slack, Facebook, you know, they kind of keep you together in a group of people. It's really good to share. And then you kind of start building off of that some one-on-one time. And so then you can get into a situation where now you're with a coach, and maybe it's a little bit more like, you know, they're helping you ask the right questions. They're helping you come to the right answers. And then you kind of go one step up, and now you're in this consulting world where it's like, hey, I am paying for very, very high level direction.
Tell me exactly what to do, how to do it. And then within each one of those kind of like support styles, there's different specific focuses of a business. Financial coaching, support, consulting, group work, sales and marketing, tech adoption, leadership, mindset. Yep. And so then it branches off into all these different subcategories within the type of support that's even offered. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And then you branch down even further, and now all those guys have links to tools and tech and things that you should be using underneath that. So absolutely. It's we in the trades run great businesses. They're not far off from complex of all the other businesses that are out there. We need all the same things.
So before we even get into this, because I want to get into like different ways to consider, like things you need to consider when choosing the right solution for yourself. When you look at BTA, and maybe you beat your head against a brick wall speaking to this for the last 7 years, but what are we? What are we not? Where do we even fit in this category or in these categories?
Yeah, I mean, Breakthrough Academy specifically, and you know, to not just wave our flag, I think there's lots of people out there as well. And we're actually extremely honest about this in our process too. Great companies doing great stuff out there. We specifically, we have a little bit of a mix of all three of those things. So it's a little bit of that community linking people up. And for some people, maybe this isn't that important maybe at the beginning. And I think it's more of a, you don't know what you don't know yet. So for people that have never been in a peer group, or an accountability group, it feels funny. Maybe it feels a little, you know, hoo-ha, but, I remember running my business through COVID and not being able to walk down the street and talk to another person and say, hey man, like, what are you doing? What's up? Like, is there anything we can share with each other? And so those problems don't just stop with, you know, something like COVID. It's an everyday thing. So you've got that accountability side and that peer group side, and then you start shifting the needle up a bit. And now you're starting to add a little bit of coaching. That's having somebody come in and saying, hey, I'm going to help you see through the fog a bit. I'm going to help you see kind of the stuff you don't know, and the stuff you just really aren't seeing because it's maybe not a part of your day, or maybe it's, you know, it's there. You just really don't want to look at it. And then you kind of scale up one more level. And now we've got this coach consultant version where it's like, it's a little bit of that, but it's also a little bit of like, hey, I'm an expert here. I've done this many times. This is your issue. Let's jump in and fix it. So I think that kind of, I would say that describes, you know, BTA at its best. Now there's lots of details that go in here. We could talk about this forever.
Yeah. What are we not? There's certain things that I know we're not, that people come in and they're excited to talk to you, and then you have to kind of tell them, no, it's not a right fit. And why is that? What comes out of that?
Yeah. Like we're not, I hate the word get rich quick, but it isn't that. It's not a quick is the great, you know, yeah. Take the get rich out of it. Quick is the right term. It's not quick. This process isn't quick. There are people out there that can dive into one specific problem, but I don't even think that's quick, because you don't want just a solution. You want to set up the process behind that solution so you don't have that problem over and over and over again. So I don't think that's quick. Breakthrough Academy and other coaching options like us, like, it's not quick. It's a thing you're going to do for a bit, and it's a good thing you're going to do it for a bit, because you're setting this up for success, right? I'm a big gym guy. I'm going to use a lot of gym analogies probably today.
You can't see his muscles under his shirt.
But you don't go to the gym for 2 weeks just because you needed, you know, an inch on your calves, and then you don't go back. It's you got to keep doing it. So we are not quick. We are not going to do it for you. And I don't even the best consultants, they still need so much buy-in and support and effort from the person on the other end. Like, I can't, you know, I tell people this in calls all the time. Like, I can't want success for your business more than you do. So it's a thing. And we can't get you excited about your business again. Like, we talk to a lot of people that have been doing this for a while, you know, slogging away, and the issues are real. The struggle is real, and it gets to a point where it's like, are you still excited about your business? Like,
I find that interesting, actually, because yeah, I get it. Sometimes I only have conversations with some of our pre-members of people that are looking at BTA, and it's like, I just don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing anymore. And it's actually a red flag for me. I'm like, hey, like, I wish I could help you. And I think maybe like Tony Robbins or something might be able to be a good option for you. But it's like, mm-hmm. You have to kind of know what you want to be able to drive forward in this process. So.
Yeah. We are also not, and it's funny because you asked about the categories of coaching. You know, we are not a psychologist either. And everybody can laugh about that.
I will say our coaches sometimes have to turn into quasi-psychologists to get people, but it's not our core thing, is it?
100%. Yeah. And what I mean by this is, when you come in, you know, man, I've heard it all. I did quick math this morning, and give or take a few, I've done 1,099 45-minute calls here at Breakthrough Academy. Wow. There's a lot more calls outside of that. But in those, like, I have seen everything. I've had husbands and wife full out fighting with each other, talking about divorce on the phone. I have had partners that are throwing each other under the bus. They're going to sign papers at the end of the call. Like, this happens in like a 30-minute call. So
have you had tears? Have you had people crying? I've had some tears in my assessments. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Tears. This is, and that's not a surprise. Yep. Like I said, I've been a business owner. This is a thing of passion.
Totally.
But you kind of have to have all those things in a place where at least you can be healthy when you go through this process. If those relationships and stuff are not healthy, I don't know.
Is it?
I got to give the coaches credit, because they
get a lot of people through it, because you're going to go through it regardless when you work with us. But I always think about it as like, we're looking at people who are coming from a place, at least from inspiration of where they want to head, mm-hmm. versus desperation of like, I'm totally screwed and I have no other choices, and I'm going to throw a Hail Mary to see if, and that's true for any coaching company. Like, if you come in from a place of desperation, Not that it won't work. It's just the odds are already stacked against you, I think, versus if you're coming from a place of inspiration and a vision of where you want to go. And you even might even have some ideas of how you want to get there. You just need help putting it together and some accountability, getting it across the line. That's a very healthy place, I think, to start from a mindset place anyway.
Yeah. I mean, think of it. Who's that guy? I haven't heard from him for a while. Mike Holmes. Like, to put this in the perspective of like tradespeople, it's like you signing up to do Mike Holmes' job, to go into a DIY reno that is literally the house is falling apart and you are not getting, you know, you're not paying for it. You're not getting it put on TV. It's not getting cut. Like you're signing up for that job. It's the same thing. It's kind of like, yeah, we could do it and we can probably help, but it's like, it's very messy.
You know, when you go into that customer's house that has dry rot all the way through all the studs, that once you pull off that drywall, you and that customer are going to be very unhappy people with each other.
Yeah.
And so if you know that ahead of time, it's probably good to set those expectations early on and then even warn the customer, we might want to do a demo here, not a reno.
Yeah.
Right.
No, exactly. So. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into things to consider. Because I think that for a lot of people, this is where I really thought it was like the meat of what we're going to talk about today is just like, what should people be considering when looking for a coaching program and how do they make these decisions? So we've already kind of been touching on it, I think, in a lot of our conversation, but let's break this down kind of like item by item. And we had written these down ahead of time. So I'll name them out and then let's get into this a bit. So the first thing is like someone has to be problem aware. And so what does that look like? What do you mean by that? And how do you become problem aware?
Mm-hmm. Diving into this with people, I think there is definitely a world where with so much that has happened in this industry so quickly, like it is probably a little bit difficult to address or discover the actual root problem in a lot of this stuff. And I know this, we talk to so many people where the problem is here, but it's actually like way, way down here. Mm-hmm. And that's somewhat pretty natural as like the industry grows and things become complex. The solution is a bit harder to find. So a little bit of this will come when you're working through the discovery phase with a coach. So that begin before you've hired them, if they're good, and we'll talk about this in a bit, you will kind of start to go through this road while someone holds your hand, but like you should try to dive into this a bit. Like, what is the problem? Like, is it a relationship thing? Like, is your partnership kind of on the fritz and like your business can't function properly? Is it a sales and marketing problem? Like, if you don't get 20 leads this month, are you closing shop? Do you have a debt problem, an AR problem? Like, actually dive into like, what is the core issue? And you might not know. This is the purpose of some of what we do, what a coach does, but getting yourself as close to that bullseye as you possibly can will absolutely help you set your expectations, right, for what you're getting into.
Yeah, what I've seen is like people should come in at least having some inkling of what their problem is, which I think everybody does. That's what like gets people to say, hey, I'm going to spend money on this. It's like, starts the conversation? But while you're going through this process, and you shouldn't go through it with just one company, right? Like, we'll talk about this, but like, you should probably sit down with a few to see who's a good fit for you. Looking for feedback, advice, and a bit of a sounding board to start to see like, is there a more deeper rooted issue to what we're talking about here to get to the root issue? And in the discovery process, before you've even probably started with a company, you can usually start to uncover what that even is.
Yeah. If you don't know, then you are leaving yourself wide open to the coach you're about to talk to. And it's good. Like, making that decision is going to be pretty tough. Cause if you don't know, you know, one coach might see it as this, one coach might see it as this, one coach might see it as this.
Everybody, it's the one thing we do.
Yeah. And you have no idea. And now making a decision, which really at the end of this podcast is really the hope, is that we can just make decisions better.
Yeah.
But you can't make a decision if you haven't even given it some thought. And we are busy. Our brains run like crazy. We just did an episode on ADHD. Most of us have it. But there is some things where it's like, I got to sit down and think this through.
It was interesting for even us, right? Like, we just brought in a sales consultant for ourselves. And that was kind of like becoming problem aware, was kind of me and you trying to discuss like, where is the leadership gap between what I can even bring you and what you need? And as we go through this discovery process, are we going to nail it or not? And we definitely knew what we didn't need, I think, at some level. Mm-hmm. But I think even we still are working with this coach, I think we still are trying to identify the core issue of like, what is the problem we're trying to solve with them, right? And it's mm-hmm. actually caused a bit of confusion for us, hasn't it?
Yep.
So we didn't even do this perfectly.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Let's get to the next one. So on the opposite side of becoming problem aware, the other side is deciding what success is for you. What do you mean by that?
This is a big one. I hear this so much. The word success, let's start with just the word success is subjective. And I think we have to start there because there is two sides to this. You mentioned it earlier where it's like, what is your why? Like, what does success look like? We do not, and I can promise you this, we do not bring somebody in to our program, to Breakthrough Academy, if they don't have that clear why. It's a driver. Like it drives you towards a goal. It shows us that you have something to work for and you have something to kind of lose. And it's not, it's big picture stuff. Like I love talking to people. They're like, yeah, man, I want to spend, 20 days a month deep sea fishing in the Gulf. I'm like, that's awesome. Like that is your thing that is going to drive you through this. So not knowing what success for you looks like is a pretty big thing. And we ask every single person we talk to us this question, like besides your business, what do you want your life to look like? Like, why do you do this? Why do you wake up every day and like go to work and put yourself through all these things that we've just talked about? If you can identify that, and for some people, I mean, Simon Sinek has a great book on why. Like why is big. It's a very, very big thing. And why is arguably success in this example. So you kind of have to know what success looks like for you. Success will likely change, especially if you've never worked with a coach or a consultant before. Like you actually probably don't even know what you're capable of at this point. You'll get in and you'll start to push through, limits that you've set or felt. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I had a goal of, being a $10 million roofing company with five people and going to Mexico four times a year. Now
my next goal now what?
Is this. This is now what success looks like. So success is subjective and it moves. But there's also an expectation that people come through into their coaching, let's call it discovery phase, this whole choosing a coach, choosing where you want to invest your time and money, with this picture of like, well, I need to find this coach that fits in this box and has done all these things in their company. And it's just like, how far do we go down that hole? Because now you're playing this game where it's like, okay, well, do you need a coach that has been a roofer in Cleveland, Ohio, in the East End, doing this much, working on only old houses? Like how far do we go down that train before it's kind of this thing? So when you define success, I think this makes it easier to see like, okay, who am I looking for to guide me to success? So
are you saying like instead of being like, I need to find the person that embodies where I want to go, I need to know where I want to go. So who I end up choosing to help work with me to get there, I can make sure I'm taking what I need from it versus being, because I see this with people where it's like they come in not knowing what they need. And so they take everything we say and they just implement all of it, but without any clear direction of where they're going with all of it. And now they've just got a bunch of stuff implemented without like any clear direction. It's like why it matters versus like, hey, I care about working 20 hours a week while having a cash flowing business that makes me $500,000 a year and having, four vacations a year while I have a business that's saleable by the time, 15 years from now, or bring it to my kids. I can see where I'm going. So when I'm sitting in a session on, strategic planning or on organizational structure, I know what the structure is I need to build out of this. And I don't need to aimlessly just do what I'm told. I can actually put priority on what's important and start to work on it accordingly.
What helps you see through, again, the fog when you're picking stuff, because if you get too complex with this, if you get too rigid with this, like we've seen people pass up amazing opportunities that are arguably way less in the cost, way more value to work with a local landscape coach from their city, and they're going to end up spending five times more. And who knows what kind of value they're going to get out, but it's because that person comes from their area and they used to run a landscape company. So when I look at success here, what I mean is just like, what are you trying to get out of this? Like I tell people all the time, it's like, we are entrepreneurs, which means the majority of us are visionaries. Teaming up with an implementer is probably what you need. Like whether that implementer grew a, you know, a $50 million company or didn't, have they successfully implemented systems in the business, scaled the business to a level where they now got to get out of that business and do what they wanted in life, show up to work and do the things they love? Like, that's also success. And when I look at BTA, we've met so many people with so many varying success stories. You know, we got people that fully run their company from Costa Rica. They don't even come back to Canada or the US in a year. Yeah. We've got guys that have grown and will continue to grow up past the $100 million mark and have locations in every city. And we've got people that are just like, hey, I'm taking six vacations a year. My company's doing $4 million and I really don't have to be there. I love it. Like, it's great. And all of those are success. And what lies underneath that stuff though is the deep stuff, and that's what you have to kind of look for.
Yeah, in our specific category of what we do, you just said something that's important, which is like it's about the implementation, not just like the visionary ideas. And I do find a lot of the people we work with, anyways, generally are visionaries, and they have a pretty clear idea of what they want, but they struggle with the implementation, which means accountability and structure and all those things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. Given implementation, let's talk about time for a second, because it does take time to do any program. Yeah. What do people need to think about when it comes to time commitment?
Yeah. This one's a little bit, I think it's a little simpler. Incoming gym analogy, you know, this it's consistency. I think that's all this means when you look at time commitment. Can you be consistent from a time commitment? Like some people need 5 hours a week to be consistent. Some people need 20. The idea is, though, that you in your business can consistently put a chunk of time away where you go into your office, you close the door, you lock it, your phone's on silent, or it's not even in the room with you, and you are just heads into the business. What do I need to do today to get this thing to the next level? And there really isn't any fire that's more important than getting this done. And I think it's just consistency. You know, even after you work with a coach, you might be on your fifth or sixth coach. This is not going to change. Right. Like 5 hours a week minimum is what we say. It could be more than that, but it's like time set aside to work on your business consistently. So when you wonder, like, when I'm considering making this decision, like, for one, it's pretty simple. Like, if you're still on the tools, consistent time is not going to be in your world yet.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing, as well as just external factors. I mean, we love, obviously, the people that we work with. There's some people though that come in and it's like, you know, my kid's battling this, you know, maybe cancer. We've had this, like, I'm in the hospital all the time and it's like, I really want to help you, but like this, maybe, like, I'm worried about the consistency.
And it's because we might not be able to be the priority. So it's like, it's consistent time because this is the priority. And if this is probably not like, and it's sometimes people come in saying, you know, we're good to go for the fall, but I'm still on the tools in the summer. So this is going to like, and it's, and there's a decision that has to be made there, because like you said, it's not about a 1 or 2 or 3 month thing. It's about a year long or 2 year, or sometimes 3 year long thing where it's like, we can make time to make this happen. And nobody knows the future 100%, but I think if you're not prioritizing in your mind that this is the most important thing and I will have consistent time for it, it falls apart, right? And then you spend time, money, and effort going down a path with a coaching business that doesn't actually yield what you're hoping for.
Mm-hmm. It's development. So you're never going to not develop. So this just might be the step in the development for the next year, two, three, four. I mean, man, we've worked with some people for 7 years, 8 years. So this might be that step for now. But after this, there's another development step. And then there's another one and another one. And they all need consistent time. So I think that's the big thing. I promise the gym analogy. It's the same. We can't just go to the gym in January for 1 month and then take the rest of the year off. It's like, you're better off to go once a week for the rest of your life and you'll be in way better shape. It's the same thing with our business. Just invest the time. You won't regret it.
Now let's talk about costs and associated costs. That's the other thing to consider.
I love this. When we make decisions like this, it is very, very easy, especially in a complex world. And I'm reading a book right now, Mastering the Complex Sale, but I can't remember his name. But he kind of hints at the same thing. Like, when there's so much to offer and everything seems complex, our minds kind of just tend to go backwards to the price all the time. And then we immediately, like, we start comparing each other, like, or coaches. So you're going to start looking at coaches like, this one costs this, this one costs this. None of these things really make any sense. They all seem valuable. And they're all worded different. So I can't directly compare them, but price I can compare. And so we often get stuck on this cost. And then where people get stuck is like, well, I can find the money to pay for a coach. Yeah, no problem. And we get people from all ranges. Like, yeah, I'll sell a truck and we can totally get into the program. I just got to collect some AR, some AR, and then I'll be totally good. I got some stuff just waiting there. And you're like, well, you haven't collected in 6 months, so I'm not going to hold my breath. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you start to kind of figure out, like, how can I afford this? And that's cool. But there's some books out there that tell you that's how you should do it. But what you don't think is, like, once you get into the program, you still have to operate your business. Like, your business comes with costs. It costs money to hire people. It costs money to do sales and marketing. It costs money to hire a project manager, put another truck on the road. So if you can't, if you're kind of in this place where you might get yourself to a spot where it's like, well, I can't really do the coaching and hire people. So, like, maybe I just won't spend money on hiring people. It's like, no.
Right.
That's a bad move. So
yeah, we don't want to be the thing in the way of helping you implement what you need to go implement. No. And if it's totally that tight, that's, I know for our assessment team, like, that's a big warning sign that we look out for. It's just, and we want to be able to help you. And sometimes we can, we can make it work, but sometimes it's like, man, if you hire us and you can't pay yourself, or you can't hire this role that we need to get you to hire in 6 months from now, because there are associated costs with doing coaching. It's not to do with us. It's that we want you to go improve your marketing process. We have a vendor for this. We want you to go hire this project manager because you need time off the tools. There's implementation steps that you're going to go do that are going to cost money. And we can absolutely financially engineer a lot of businesses to figure that out if it's not directly apparent. But if you're coming in on the skin of your teeth, barely being able to afford the monthly fees, it's probably statistically, we probably should pull the numbers on this, there's a higher likelihood that it's not going to work out the way we had hoped. Is that fair?
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I've told more people in calls, don't do this, than we've told do this. And that's okay. Like, go do the thing. That means if any one of these things, if there's a red flag here, just go spend some time. There's some low hanging fruit there. Figure that out, come back, and then we can get going. Like, it's all good.
We'll even do our best to help you. Like, I know our team 100%. Does a good job of that. So anyway, let's not 100%. Make it all about BTA. Stakeholder buy-in. Let's go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So this I've seen a lot, and I know you have too. And explain this. Explain what is this, and what do you need to be aware of when it comes to this?
Yeah, it's not uncommon to start the process. And again, just speaking from the perspective of the business owners that come through, it's like, you know, one owner comes in, you know, you guys might do a bit of a discovery call with us or another coaching company, or even tech. Like, we can include everything here that is business development, but you guys start looking into this. And then one owner, one partner, husband or wife or kids, not parents, like, they start to run with this whole thing. Like, we need this. This is a really good thing. And then you get down to decision-making time. And now you've got these partners that they haven't been a part of the decision-making process. And by the way, this is a bigger help than it is a sales tactic. Like, you know, everybody's going to try to get you to bring your partner to the first call. And it, you know, for some, it might be a sales tactic. It's also just smart, because what ends up happening is at the end of that process, you might be really bought in and see the entire value here, or you might be on the other side of that partnership where your partner really sees the value in this thing and you don't. You haven't been a part of the process. You haven't had your questions answered, and your partner's only gone through this once. So they're not going to be able to answer all your questions. They're not going to be able to tell you how this is going to work and how it affects. They're not going to remember all the, you know, the stats and the numbers that we went over. So now you're kind of relying on nothing to sort of say, hey, can we make this decision? And that stems into the whole thing. If you can actually make the decision and you go through this, change management comes into play, and you're already going to feel this with staff and systems in the business. You do not want to feel this with your partner.
Like, yeah, there needs to be a shared vision for the future. And when you start to incorporate coaching into the organization, that will sometimes shift the way that you view the future of the organization. And if both partners aren't aligned on that future, this can sometimes cause that, right? Because it's like, oh, I see the systems that we can create. I see the way that we could build the org and the culture, the people and the way we set goals. And the other partner is like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. Can we just produce more? Like, why are we doing this? And it creates a misalignment between owners. So I know anyways, it's important when you're looking at a coaching option to not only make sure that all stakeholders are bought in, but that they have some element of involvement along the way as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And this, again, put the sales tactic side away, just do yourself a favor, get your stakeholders involved. Like, it is a thing. Like, all owners should just be involved. It's going to help you in this decision-making process. Like, sure, somebody might use it as a tactic, whatever, it doesn't matter. They should be involved anyways.
Yeah. Most of the people we sell to are salespeople. So they know and understand all the sales tactics. And I'll actually say this too, like, it's actually good for anyone else listening, running a coaching company. I find it's really good just not to be salesy. I think the more salesy you are, I think the less that people buy into that. I think we're in a generation, a time now where people are mature, can make their own decisions. So, but yeah, the idea of having stakeholders involved is important, even if it's a sales thing. So fair enough.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, it's two sales guys talking about sales stuff all the time. It's hard. Culture fit. It's another thing to think through. Tell us a bit about this.
I mean, we just went through this with a coaching company on the sales side of Breakthrough Academy that we did not hire. And culture fit. I mean, we talk about this at length when it comes to hiring people, where it's like, hey, if they don't have that culture fit, like, kind of, you don't feel it right at the beginning, it's probably not there. And if you bring them in, you're going to feel that. It could be immediately. It could be 2 years down the road. But like, they got to fit. Everybody's got a culture. Like I said, we've talked to so many people, and every single person has a culture within their business. And it can be led by the business owner themselves. It can be developed by the entire company, but there's a culture. And just because this is a hired person to come in and help doesn't mean they shouldn't also fit that culture. Mm-hmm. Just because they're a fantastic coach or a fantastic consultant and they've got all the accolades and they've got, you know, everything, framed banners and all this stuff and a great website, if they don't fit your culture.
We've noticed this with like, who is it again? I'm forgetting the name, but the 10X Your Business Conference. What's that called? I forget the name of the guy. But there's like a culture to that where it's like, I want to 10X my business next year and I'm all about that. Whereas BTA, we're about the slow, methodical growth and the realistic expectations that it takes to actually build a long, sustainable business. And culturally, we attract people that are more looking for that than just like, let's go 10X tomorrow and, you know, revenue all day long. And this culturally, it's like a different way of looking at business a bit.
We don't have to say his name. Everybody knows who. And to be honest with you, he's very successful. And there's people that probably get a lot out of his program because he is a culture fit for some companies. But there are also companies that come to us and they're like, ugh. And it's like, yeah, that means they're not a culture fit. That's okay. There's lots of room here to get help. Find the person that fits with who you are and with the culture of your business. You feel comfortable and you'll feel that from the get-go. Like from the first call, you'll be like, oh, this feels good.
It's a felt thing, but I think a tangible way to look at it too is if you've established your company core values, it's a values thing. And you can actually look at the company's values and your values and say, do we have alignment here in these two things? So
yeah, it gets so easy to spot that we were going through this process and I'm being sold to by the sales consultant who is going to help us set up better our sales funnels and journey and processes. And I'm like, I don't like the way you sell.
That was funny.
So that means you're going to help us set up this exact thing I don't like.
Just so everybody knows. So like I said earlier, so we went and got our own consultant for the sales side, but like we were judging it not only by what they were telling us, but how they were processing us. And we were like, is this the sales process that we believe in or is this not? Right. Yeah. So anyway, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about decision making. So like, is there a right time? Is there a wrong time? It's kind of a cliche thing I think people talk about all the time. What's your opinion on all this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When is the right time to do this? Like I said, there is some stuff where, let's just be real, there's some spots in life where you've just been kind of dealt that hand and you're just like, hey, this just isn't a great time to start. And that's totally cool. You will eventually, though, have to run this business and get this support and development that you're looking for through kind of all seasons of the business. So eventually, like, you're gonna have to do a summer with a coach. You can't take the summer off of coach because it's mid-production season. You can't take spring off of your coach because you're too busy interviewing people. Like, you eventually have to go through this. You kind of want to, like, you want a coach to be there and show you the stuff you don't know in those busy times of the year. So you got to think about what's going on in your life. Like, can you be consistent? I think that's a very easy one to begin with. When is it the right time though? Like, you, I guess you kind of feel it. I think, again, from a gym perspective, like, when is the right time to go to the next level? It's kind of when you've maxed out your potential doing what you're currently doing. And now you're like, okay, hey, like, I feel like I've done all the things I can possibly do here. You know, my leadership style or our current systems are not getting us to the next level. I actually don't know what is next. Mm. Do we hire? Do we pay off some debt? Do I increase prices? Is it sales? Like, if you kind of are unsure, you want to scale, but you have no idea how to do it. You just know you're going to burn out. Yeah. Like, these are some key things where it's like, yeah, maybe it's time to start looking for that next thing. And then obviously all the things we just talked about above gets you in a place where you know your business and you are healthy enough to go down this road. And then your business is kind of there. The wrong time to do it is when you know it's not going to work. Like, people know this. And it almost feels forced. Like, we do so many calls with people when, and let's be real, a lot of coaching calls probably do a lot of calls with people where it's like, this is not a good time for you, man. And they're like, oh, thank God you said that.
Right.
It's like, yes.
They're like, I felt like I should be, so I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody but I really don't think I'm actually going to want to commit to this.
Yeah. 100%. And it's like, good. Don't do it now. There's low hanging fruit. Go figure it out. We have a podcast. There's 1,000 other podcasts. There's webinars. There's so much stuff. Go get the low hanging fruit first. Come back when you feel like there's a thing here. So that's what I think when I think of right time, wrong time. I'm sure there's a lot more in here though. I think it comes down to feeling. You kind of know.
Let's wrap up. I've got two more questions. We'll wrap this up. So is there any like red flags that a coach is not legit? Because I do think coaching, it's kind of like SEO. It's one of those things where it's like you can't quite tell what the results are going to be. It's not as tangible. And I know as people have fear of this, right? So it's like, is this person a snake oil salesman? Are they going to sell me something I don't actually need? Is there any like things you can deduce during that process of discovery to identify, hey, this person's actually not who they say they are. I'm not going to get what I need here. I'm going to waste time and money.
Yeah. Speeding through the process, like almost this desperation, and it can be on both sides, to be honest. Mm-hmm. This is a red flag for both sides. If you as a contractor are coming into this desperate for a solution, you might not be in the right headspace to make this call. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a red flag already. You're probably just going to hire somebody. As well as if they're pushing you through it, like, there's some really, really smart coaching companies out there that train the best executive coaches in the world. And it's pretty common knowledge. It's like, you should talk to a few and they should want to do 3, 4, 5 calls with you first. Like, that shouldn't be a problem. You are getting to know this person that you are going to put a lot of trust into to take your business to the next level. So I think that is a number one thing. If they're trying to rush you through, if this is like a one call close situation, it's like, you know, I appreciate that. I've got sales teams out there too that are also trying to close deals, but like this is how I feel this should go.
And it's not that it wouldn't be a fit or it would be a fit. It's that there's not enough time to even know. So there's a bit of a gamble there to be like, we're going to do this and see. Okay.
Don't get yourself into a situation where you never make a decision. That's what we're trying to prevent from happening. But take your time, ask the right questions. They should want to answer your questions and take you through it and not rush the process. So I think that's a pretty big red flag. The culture fit, we talked to this as well. Like, if you're already feeling it from the first or second call, like, that's a red flag. It's maybe not a red flag for everybody, but for you it is. Mm-hmm. You should probably listen to that. Not doing enough homework is also a thing. You know, I'm not saying talk to every coach out there. It's impossible. You won't know. You won't be able to find them all, but you should meet with a couple, three, like get some, opinions. And also when it comes to the decision-making process, this one's on the contractor, is compare apples to apples. You can't make a decision if you've done, you know, two Zoom calls with this company, but you've talked to this company once on the phone, and this company you kind of like chatted with on Facebook. Like, they are not in the same.
Like, go through the full process with each one of
them. Totally. Yeah. Like, take it through and feel it out. So, you know, when you're at the end, you're like, okay, well, I have done calls with all three. I have done Zoom calls with all three. I have seen the back end of all three things. I've had my questions answered. Now, which one is the right move? And we don't win every business, and that's okay. I'm totally cool with that. As long as they've done the homework. What sucks is, and for contracting too, it sucks to lose business to, you know, a job you didn't even get the chance to estimate and other two people did.
This, right? I'm just going to review what we talked about earlier, but this also helps with obviously becoming problem aware, because you're spending time investing with three different organizations and really getting to the root problem. You can make sure you've decided what success is for you. Through this all, make sure you actually have like time and priority commitments to this. Costs associated, you can start obviously think through that. Stakeholder buy-in, you've given time for you and your partners to really talk about this. And you've made sure you've got a full culture fit, because you've gone all the distance with all three. So,
yep, exactly.
And those are all the things we talked about today. So it's good. Cool. So final question, and then we'll wrap it up. But like, what is one question that you would arm somebody with when they're doing this discovery process with coaches? What is a great question that they could ask?
A great question that they could ask. I don't know that it's one question. I thought about this and I couldn't really put my finger on one specific question that's like, this identifies that this person is ready or has done their homework.
Sure.
I think the call feels different. If you have done your homework and you've dove in and you've tried to find your weak points and you are very open to coaching, that is a whole nother thing. We didn't even get a chance to touch on. If all your walls are down, you're open, you're humble, you're like a hardworking human being, and you're like, these are my weaknesses, these are my strengths. I'm not playing a sales game here. I just like, it's what I need. That feels different in a call. And that, I think, is where you find success in this decision-making process.
You're maybe looking that for that from both parties, from yourself. Like, yeah. I know when me and you did our discovery, like I laid it out. I was like, here's where I suck. It's just kind of like, please, I want to be real, because I want you to see us for who we really are. So it's important coming in to do that with whoever you're working with or potentially looking at working with, and for them to probably do the same with you. So you can get to at a very human level with one another versus a transactional level. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. There's a cool book that I read not too long ago, Becoming Coachable, by Scott Osman, and there's two other authors on there, but these guys run, I think it's the 100 Coaching Company, which is like a top level executive coaching training. And this book, I mean, most people probably will just give it a listen, which is great, but it just kind of maps out sort of like, what is the human being that is ready for this step? And it also like, it's really cool, because it also lays out just frequently asked questions, you know, how long till I see results, like what is typical from like every coaching aspect. So there's a lot of cool things that go into that. I just read it twice not too long ago, actually preparing for me to be to go through this on the sales side. So you know, small plug here, they're not paying me to say this, but it was a cool read. So yeah,
cool. Final thought, how do people reach out to you? Because I imagine some people might want to email you or ask you questions, or how do we?
Yeah.
You're the head of sales, so you don't take tons of calls anymore, do you? But
man, I love talking to people. That's where this all started 19 years ago, and I'm still there today. Website, there's a toll-free number. My personal number, I've sent out a ton of emails, brendan.toyne@btacademy.com. You can reach out to me there anytime. I get my emails all the time. I love chatting with people. So
are you cool? We'll put it in the description. People want to just copy paste.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And reach out if you have any questions about coaches that you're trying to hire, even if we're not on the table, that's totally cool. Like we love people.
Brett, I've always appreciated working with you. You're super down to earth, real human. And in sales, I think that is it's not always there in people. I think people put on a bit of a mask and they don't know how to be themselves. So I've always appreciated that and working with you and how you bring that out in other people. And I think that's also how you've built our sales team, which I really appreciate. So thanks for coming on today. Anything else you want to say to everyone?
Only way I know how to be. No, I mean, thanks a ton. I hope this episode helps some people out there because there's a ton of great episodes. So I know what I'm up against here.
It's good, man. It's a good conversation. It's a conversation around making coaching decisions. So yeah, it's something I don't think I've seen covered before even. So it's good.
Cool.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks.
Have a good week. Everyone else, have a good week. See you guys. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.